We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 while we've... Yeah, I'm on over here, so make sure I didn't push the mute button. It's always something, isn't it? Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. How many of y'all really believe there's always something to be thankful for? Always. All right, I'm hoping by the time we get done, y'all get a little bit more excited about the Lord and the things that we know we should be thankful for and can be thankful for. There's always something to be thankful for. I think we would all agree with that. My question this morning is going to be, what does always mean? What does the word always mean? Second question goes along with it. What does everything mean? And y'all are sitting here like, duh. We all know what those words mean. However, sometimes we don't always live in always, or we don't always live in everything. And I'm going to try to explain that. Today, we're going to look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as we begin to approach Thanksgiving time. Okay? As we begin to approach the Thanksgiving holiday, hopefully we will be reminded of something that we should already know as believers, as seasoned believers, as people of faith. And if you're a new person of faith, if you are recently saved, then you should be learning this along with the rest of us, that we are people of gratitude. We can't be people of faith unless there's gratitude, unless there's some feeling, some emotion of gratitude or thanks toward God, which ultimately would lead to a lot of other moments of thanksgiving. Now, I'm trying real hard not to bring every message to the storm situation and only that, because we all know what's going on, but at the same time, it is what's going on, so it applies. All right? So just know that, and we're going to see what the Word of God helps us learn and reminds us about God and about ourselves and about situations. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just a few verses where the Thessalonians are being taught about how to act as Christians or how Christians behave. In verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Okay? That's tough, isn't it? Nowhere in Scripture does it say it would be easy to rejoice always or give thanks in everything. All right, so just throw the "we want it to be easy" out the window. Everybody agree? It's like, amens are allowed. Okay, I know y'all agree. It's good to know that you're on the same page. I'm gonna read this to you. It's an illustration from a man named Curtis Hudson, who I don't know. It's just where it came from. It says, a man invited a friend to go hear a preacher saying, I want you to hear the most thankful preacher I've ever heard. The two men weathered a storm to hear him preach. On the way, they thought nobody would be there. Not even the preacher wouldn't come. But when they got to the little country church, there was a preacher seated on the platform. The stranger said to his friend, "He has nobody to preach to. There's a storm outside. It looks like we will have a flood. He won't have anything to be thankful for tonight." "Yes, he will. He'll thank God for something." When the preacher stood up, he bowed his head and prayed, "Dear Lord, it is stormy outside. It looks as if the roads will wash away before we can get out of the church tonight. It's an awful storm. But we're thankful that it's not always this way. So when we think about words like always and everything, when we're looking at the Word of God, which we all agree is the absolute truth, is the truth, is the way, it's what God has given us to show us the way in the Christian life. And there's, from our experience in the last 5 weeks, if you don't see anything to be thankful for, you're not paying attention. And it's challenging, isn't it? It's challenging not to look at the horrifying things only, or the terrible things only, or the hard things only. So I look at this in verse 16, and it just simply says there's three different tools here that we're given to live the Christian life in this particular part of Scripture. And the first one in verse 16 says to rejoice. That's kind of a word that seems to appear around Christmas time most of the time. Rejoice. And if you read your Bible, it appears more than that. I looked up the definition. I'm always looking up definitions because I don't want to just assume everybody knows what words mean without telling you what the definition is. Especially nowadays when people can just make up what they want. Rejoice. To feel or show great joy or delight. Isn't that simple? Well, I can tell you this, there's been many times over the last 5 weeks, me personally, I didn't feel great joy or delight. There were many times where I did, but there were many times where I just wasn't feeling it. Right? It's just the way it is. So does that mean we fail? No. It just means there's something to strive for. It's something to ask the Lord to help with. It tells me, this is me personally, and you let the Lord apply it to your life, that in those times when I was not able to rejoice, maybe, just maybe, I missed out because I wasn't really noticing everything, or I wasn't really looking at all of it. You see, it was whatever we choose to look at is what gives us what we need to rejoice always. See, it's rejoicing isn't the problem, is it? It's the always part. That's the problem. Because I can tell you this, when I smashed my finger, there wasn't no rejoicing going on in that brief moment, right? But then when I left the urgent care, and he told me if I would have went a little bit further, it would have been a lot worse. So then, okay, maybe I can rejoice a little bit. I can thank the Lord that it wasn't worse. You see, it's always something, isn't it? It's always something you can look at to cause rejoicing in your heart. Doesn't mean you ignore the negative or the hard or the terrible or the traumatic. It doesn't mean you ignore all of that. It means always rejoicing. Right? And as I was thinking about this message and talking to myself and to the Lord about it, it caused me to reflect almost on my entire life. And just like everybody else, there's ups and downs and hards and easies and greats and terribles. And I've noticed, just like you probably do if you think about it, since I've been with God, the terribles are not as terrible as they were before I knew God. The situations are just as bad. But because I'm with Him and He's with me, and because His faithfulness is always true, I can praise God. I've told I sent you all an email trying to kind of give you an update about as much as I could about what's been going on, because I don't want y'all to not know stuff. Because I want you to be able to thank God for what He's been doing here. I want you to be able to pray about what's going on here. I want you to be a part of what God's doing here. This is anytime there's hardship in our lives, in our congregation, or in the world, in our community, God is there. He's always there. So that tells me that there's always opportunity to rejoice. Because imagine what it would be like if we didn't have God for the last 5 weeks in our life. And His presence, and His promises, and His strength, and His courage. Imagine what would have happened if we had nowhere to turn. In the storms of life. How many times have we been with others when their lives are falling apart? And it makes us think, how would you ever go through something like that if you didn't know God? If God wasn't invited into your life, if you're just on your own. So we rejoice always when times are hard, when times are good. People of faith always rejoice. Always. Right? And I'm not saying that because I know each one of us, there's nobody here, there's not a person that I could ever know that would say, oh yeah, I always rejoice. I always do it. No. No, we're not there yet, y'all. Right? It's a work in progress, isn't it? And sometimes it takes another brother or sister or a group of them to come along and say, hey man, let's look at what God's doing here. Because I can see you're defeated in this, or I can see you're upset, or I can see you're getting swallowed up by the terrible, but God is there. And God will have His way, you see. And then it helps us, we help each other get to the where we're always rejoicing. We're not denying the terrible, and we're not ignoring the harmful emotions or the hurtful emotions or the fearful emotions. We're just rejoicing that we're not in it without God, you see. So that's tool number one. Not very easy, is it? Sometimes it's easy, but not always. It's easy to rejoice when things are great, when answered prayers are there, especially when God answers the prayer the way you want it to. It's easy to rejoice. Verse 17, tool number two, pray without ceasing. That's hard too, isn't it? It's hard. It's challenging. And it's kind of like when you're not in a bad situation, when you're not in a valley or in the darkness, you sit back and you say, or maybe it's just me, we sit back and we just say, oh yeah, I talk to God all the time. But I would be lying if I told you that I do talk to God all the time. Because there's been darkness and there's been hardship and there's been all kinds of stuff going on in my life. And in the middle of sorrow, fear, anxiety, or even anger, I don't always remember to talk to God. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's okay to say amen because we're all in the same boat, right? And it's okay to admit that because you know as well as I know we're not perfect. We're a work in progress. We want to talk to God all the time. We want to talk to Him about everything, but it's not always our first instinct. But here, the Thessalonians are being told, pray without ceasing. Talk to God about everything. The first time I read this part of Scripture as a believer and started pondering and thinking about what does that mean, I just started imagining that if God is with us all the time, everywhere, always, why wouldn't I always talk to Him? Why wouldn't I always communicate, right? And I would teach the high schoolers when I was doing youth group, I would say, if you're driving in a car with a friend on a journey and you never talk to each other, what would that be like? Like you don't know each other. Like either one of you aren't even in the car together. And that's how I started understanding. It's like, oh, if the Lord is present always, why wouldn't I acknowledge Him? Why wouldn't I communicate? Why wouldn't I say? You know? Why wouldn't I talk to him? When I'm confused, why wouldn't I say, Lord, what in the world? What's going on? Help me figure this out. Give me some guidance. Give me some wisdom. All along the way, when you're overwhelmed with his blessings or overwhelmed with goodness from other people in the world, why wouldn't you talk to God? Why wouldn't you say, really? This is for me? Why wouldn't you worship him in that moment? Why wouldn't you acknowledge your Savior always? See what I'm saying? It's the relationship that we have with the Lord. If you want to be able to rejoice always the way that Scripture teaches us or expects us to, then maybe we should talk to him always. Because if you have nothing else to rejoice about, the fact that you can talk to him at any time is a reason to rejoice. Right? When no one else is around or no one else can understand or no one else cares, God cares. And God is there. Praise the Lord. That fact right there has saved me so many times from destroying myself, from beating myself down. When it seems like no one else knows, when nobody else cares, nobody else can understand, or everybody's against you, whatever the thoughts are or whatever the reality is, God always knows. And he's always there. And he always cares. And he always sees. And he always understands it all. Me and Rich were yesterday walking around looking at other people's work to do with people's properties, and it's just overwhelming. What's going on out there? And you're looking at these people and you don't know what to say. You try to say stuff sometimes, but that's not going to help the piles and piles of trash in their houses and on their properties. Words just don't make it better. It might help a little bit that they know somebody cares, right? But if they know the Lord sees it, they will get through, and they'll persevere. No matter how long it takes. And it's going to be a long time, isn't it? A long time before this becomes a part of history for people. We have what it takes to persevere. We have what it takes to push through. We have what it takes to help people know that God is there. We have Jesus. Why wouldn't we talk to him? Why wouldn't we pray without ceasing? You can pray and do a lot of things. You know? You can pray and do just about everything in your life that you want to do. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray while you're walking. You can pray while you're talking. You can pray while you're eating. You can pray while you're doing anything. A lot of different ways to talk to the Lord. Pray without ceasing. It's the key to rejoicing always. It's the key to giving thanks in everything, talking to the Lord. People of faith, that's what they do. They pray without ceasing. And that's who we are. That's who y'all are here at Oak Grove. You're people of faith. I know it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've been a part of it. That's who you are. It's amazing. So we can be thankful for that, right? We can be excited about what the Lord is doing and how this whole 5 weeks could have been traumatic, terrible, and depressing for the whole 5 weeks, but it really hasn't been because we've seen God in it all. And he's shown himself over and over again to let us know we're not here by ourselves, so that we can let the world know that they're not here by themselves and they don't have to be alone in this storm or any other storm in their life. Because y'all know as well as I do that there were many folks going through personal storms before this hurricane thing happened. Just because the hurricane happened doesn't mean those personal storms are over. So now they got more stuff, right? So how is anyone supposed to know how amazing our God is and how worthy of his praise and worship he really is if we don't show him by the way we live in the middle of the storm, by the way that we are, how we talk to God without ceasing, how we rejoice always. And then finally in verse 18, as it shows on the board, in everything give thanks. That seems hard to me. That seems harder than rejoice always. It seems a little more challenging to me to give thanks in everything than to rejoice always. Because I can rejoice always because I know that God isn't always God. He's never going to stop being God. He never takes a time out. He never calls a time out. But giving thanks, right? In everything? What on earth is that about? What does that mean? Well, if you don't like that particular part of Scripture, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5:20 up there. It says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father. So the Ephesians were told the same thing. Always giving thanks for all things. If we break it down a little bit, and the Thessalonians were told in everything give thanks, and we have to notice that it didn't say for everything, right? Because God doesn't always cause the bad things, but he's always in the bad things. He's always in the hard things. We live in a world that is contaminated by sinful ways. We live in a world that is in decay. Eventually Jesus will come and it'll all be over. There are some amazing things to worship God about. We can look at God's creation and praise him and offer times of rejoicing because of his amazing ability to create such awesome things, including ourselves. But there's always something to be thankful for. In everything, there's something to be thankful for. In everything. What that tells me is I have to always be aware. I have to ask the Lord to give me some awareness in all situations. And we're learning, aren't we? If we're frustrated or worried or concerned or mad or things just ain't going right in our life, there has to be an awareness. The Spirit of God, maybe with the Word of God together, would just help us to say, you know what, there's something to be thankful for here. Let's find it. Let's look for it. Let's ask God to show it to us. Right? And if we ask the Lord to help us grow into this, make it who we are, not what we try to be. It's just who we are in Christ. We'll be the most joyful people in the world. Right? We'll be rejoicing and thanking God in all situations. People will start looking at us funny. Like, what are you so happy about? What's your problem? I don't have no problem. I have the Lord. That's what I got. And you can have the Lord too. Oh, I'm upset about the situation. I'm upset about this. I'm upset about that. Or I'm hurt by this. Oh, yeah, we're in the same boat there, but I have the Lord, y'all. And thank the Lord I have the Lord. You could have the Lord, too. You could have the joy that I have in the middle of this heartache. You could have the joy that I have in the middle of this darkness. You see, easier said than done, isn't it? That's why we need the Lord. That's why Jesus gave us everything needed. Let me give you another illustration, another little story. In February 2000, Mozambique experienced its largest rainfall in more than 50 years. By March Second, there were an estimated 100,000 people who needed to be evacuated and around 7,000 people who were trapped in trees. One Mozambique minister named Samuel Naftal gave thanks to God and mosquitoes for saving his life. As Samuel, along with 16 other people, clung tightly to the limbs of trees for 2 days, he began to preach, just like a preacher. All of them hoped his preaching would keep them alert to their surroundings. And he's quoted, I helped some people climb onto the roof of my house and climbed into a tree with others, said Pastor Samuel. We saw televisions, furniture, and dead calves floating past. Everything was destroyed. The people asked me to preach to them so that they would stay awake. Today, I thank God for the mosquitoes because they prevented me from falling asleep and falling into the water. I would have been simply swept away. Isn't it stuff we don't imagine until we're in the middle of it, right? The smallest thing, if we look hard enough at our situations, is the thing to be thankful for, the thing to be grateful for, the thing to rejoice over. And if he's like most other preachers, he's not only praising God and thankful for the mosquitoes because it saved his life, but that allowed him to keep preaching to the other people so that they wouldn't fall asleep and perish, you see. And how many stories are there in our storm now where God showed himself to people in crazy ways, unimaginable ways? Now, before I move on to the close, I know y'all get excited about that part. Before I move on to the close, I just want to say that the Word of God and the intent is not for us to learn how to react to big storms. You see, these tools and these principles of the Christian life apply always in every part of our life. Not just big hurricanes or big tornadoes or whatever else. It applies in traffic, believe it or not. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like I'm the only one. Y'all are sitting in traffic and your mind is tempted to go crazy with people. Like you're not the one causing the problem out there, right? Rejoice always. Rejoice always, y'all. Be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Right? So, how and why is this important? Which takes us to Romans right here. Check this out. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Y'all know it. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We've read this before, I don't know how many times. When it comes to being thankful and having an attitude of thanks or gratitude, it really has to do with, do we trust God or not? Do we trust that his word is true? Do we trust that what he tells us and promises us is true in all situations? Doesn't matter what we see. Doesn't matter what we're experiencing in our lives. It doesn't change who God is and what his promises are. So if this word says that we know that God causes all things to work together for good, right? Hello? All things to work together for good to those who love God. Take it to the bank. You don't have to know how he's going to do it. You don't have to know when he's going to do it. You don't have to know how it's all going to play out. I just know that in this storm, God's going to work it out for his glory. for my good, for your good. He doesn't make the bad thing happen, but he takes the bad thing and makes good out of it. And I can tell you this from as a personal testimony to you right now. I'm stronger today than I was 5 weeks ago in my faith. I know it. We can't just sit around and ignore what God's been doing and act like we didn't change and act like this didn't just happen. Just like you can't ignore 3:30 every day when you can't get through traffic. Right? And Friday was different than Monday because you're growing, right? Monday was bad. Friday, you're getting better with traffic because you're rejoicing. It's because in all things, in everything, you're giving thanks. So it's always in everything. Those are pretty big words, aren't they? Always in everything. There's no exceptions there. How do we do it? Because we trust God. We trust that in all things, He's going to work it out for the good of those who love Him. That's how. That's why. We do it because we trust God. We do it because we have no reason to not trust Him. Nobody in this room and nobody on the planet can ever say that God failed them and get away with it. So why wouldn't we trust Him? And if we trust Him, why wouldn't we talk to Him? If we really trust God, if we really trust Him with everything, why wouldn't we talk to Him? Why wouldn't He be the first one we talk to? Right? And most of us on a Sunday morning, because we're in church, and we've set that moment aside to go to church and worship God and focus on God, we would say, yeah, why wouldn't we talk to God? But it's at 2 o'clock in the morning on Thursday when all the worries and concern are real. We need to have the same attitude. We need to have the same faith, the same commitment, the same trust, right? So that when we get done talking to God, He will allow us to have the rest that we need until it's time to get up in the morning and go on with that day, trusting that He's going to work all things out. And we're going to have reason to thank Him. We're going to have reason to rejoice. And if we could ever discipline ourselves to surrender to God as He works that out in our own lives and helps us grow into that, we would have this attitude like, ooh, I get to find something else to be thankful for today. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something. Right? And if we trust God, that's the goal. Because too many of us, and I mean us, it's a struggle for me. The struggle is real, isn't it? We get up every day and we're like, I don't know how today's going to go. I don't know if it's going to be a good day or a bad day. According to the Word of God, what we just read, it's going to be a good day, isn't it? It's always going to be a good day. The question is, are we going to see it? Are we going to miss out on it, or are we going to see it and live in it? Every day can be a good day when it's all said and done. Even if bad things happen, even if those bad things don't get resolved in that good day, it's still a good day. Because God is God, and He's faithful, and He can be trusted, and there's reason to rejoice always. There's reason to be thankful in all things. So the challenge is that we not only strive to be thankful in all things, but we help one another be thankful in all things. Right? I'm thankful for every one of y'all here. Every one of y'all, I'm thankful for you. For a bunch of reasons. One, because I get to be a part of an amazing family here. And you'll never understand what that does for a preacher. I'm also thankful that I'm not standing here talking to myself. I mean, it's just that simple, you know. But I'm thankful that the Lord is using us in a great way. He always has been. And He always will. And we just have to keep looking for it, keep going with His flow, doing what He's doing. and we will never have reason to not rejoice, and we will never have reason to not be thankful. Isn't that great? I love you, and the Lord loves you. We're going to sing a song together. If you're not saved, then you don't have much to be thankful for, and it's not God's fault. If you're not saved, it's because you haven't received His grace and His love and His sacrifice. The Bible teaches if you do believe, you should repent. You should just stop being an offender of God. Stop being an enemy of God. And if you do that, you should confess Jesus is Lord and Savior. Not just Lord, but Lord and Savior. Not just Savior, but Lord and Savior. And then it says to be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can receive the grace that God has given you. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. That's the beginning of it all. It's the beginning of the journey. Let's stand together and sing. If you have a decision to make, now's the time.